Hey, it's Conrad Thompson, and you're listening to Grilling JR with the voice of professional wrestling, Mr. Jim Ross. Jim, how are you, man?
I'm good, buddy. Are we on? Yeah, I'm kidding. Yeah, I'm good, man. I'm feeling better than I have in a long, long time. So that's all good. My hip is still sore and tender from the hip replacement, but it's to be expected. There's no surprises. And I got meds that address that, and I just am very grateful that I'm getting better. My radiation wound on my left tibia is healing, and I think we're getting ready to change the medicines because we're very close in it being where we want it to be. So, on all my ridiculous effing medical issues, everything's improving. And I still plan on being in St. Louis for the pay-per-view, and excited about that. Can't wait. I look at the calendar every day, and it's still the same date, still the same arena. And tickets are doing well for that event at AEWTIX.com. So good stuff. And I regret that I missed going to West Virginia, because I got this biscuit place there called Tudors, T-U-D-O-R-S. Badass, man. Homemade biscuits.
Wow.
And served any way you want them, with gravy, with sausage, with bacon, whatever, or just by themselves. It's really, really good. Rafael Morphy and I went there both times that we've been. The two times I remember that we went to Charleston. Tudor's Biscuits. If you're from that area, you know it very well. Oh, yeah, I go there. I've been there. So it's funny what little things you pick up on, you know? So I'm looking forward to that. But I am looking forward to going to St. Louis, and one of my favorite cities, I think, because of the legacy that Sam Muchnick created there as the promoter. You know, I've always been amazed, Conrad. You're a big-time promoter. It's funny how a promoter can run one town, essentially, and make them a living. Just, to me, that's an amazing entrepreneurial accomplishment. So,
to run the one town and make a living?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, you run it once a month, or every 3 weeks, whatever it may be.
Right.
But to me, that's a hell of a, you're an entrepreneur if you do that. You are a promoter. And both those guys, Bosch and Muchnick, had one thing in common. They got out in the community and used a little shoe leather. They knew who everybody was that could help them sell tickets. And so I always admired that. You know, even though I didn't see eye to eye all the time with Mr. Bosch, who cares? Difference of opinion. But those guys are, they're nobody could do that anymore. Wouldn't happen because of the social media and all those things, overexposure, keeping things quiet. No surprises would become very faint, very fleeting. So good stuff. But I had a good time, with those guys. I learned a lot from Mr. Bosch and from Sam. I asked Sam one time about how he handled the talents, because he didn't have a lot of talent problems, because he could communicate with them. That was the answer. He communicated, and he talked to them like men. And the guys, I think, appreciated that, especially in that old school era.
You said you had some philosophical differences with Paul Bosch. I got to circle back to that. Can you expound on that? What do you mean, what were your philosophical differences?
lots of times regarding finishes. He didn't, you know, there's a difference of opinion on when it's time to lose. And Cowboy had a theory of booking that, you extend the story as long as it's realistic and those dots are being connected. So sometimes Paul was impatient, but he built a hell of a business there. There's no doubt about that. I always enjoyed going to his office. Oh, Bruce Pritchard and I would get, We ate Mexican food, I think it was. It was awful. For lunch, every time I went down there. He'd pick me up at the airport, would stop off and eat. I can't remember the name of it. Bruce would know. But in any event, it was really good. And the other thing I was going to say was that Bosch's office, the hallway, his office, the outer office, had great memorabilia. Absolutely great memorabilia. I wonder what happened to all that. I'm sure somebody monetized it.
Bruce has most of it.
Does he really?
Yeah.
Wow. That's a good collection, man.
He bought it from the estate. So he's got like his entire basement. He's got like an informal office and a formal office. Like he's got a wing of his house. That's basically floor to ceiling, all the stuff that Bosch had.
Wow. That's good. Well, good. I'm glad to know that.
Yeah.
See what we learned today, kids? it's not lost in space. You think WWE will call on Bruce to buy some stuff for that their show that they do, the memorabilia show?
I'm pretty sure Ben knows he can borrow whatever he needs from Bruce.
Yeah.
Just guessing.
Right. Right. Absolutely. Well, anyway, and then this weekend for me, I found myself watching a lot of wrestling. Almost to the point of overload. A couple of times I thought I might want to set the reset button. So it's just so much. Including not just WrestleMania. AEW products, I was watching all of that. Stuff on Vice. Watching that.
A&E.
A&E too, yeah.
They're everywhere.
So wrestling is topical and timely. And as they say, and we've said here many times, Conrad, I think you and I both agree on this point, is that a high tide raises all ships.
Oh, absolutely.
So hopefully that'll carry over and be accurate and true.
You know, I got to ask your opinion. What did you think of Cody, quote unquote, finishing the story at WrestleMania? I know that you go way back with his dad and obviously think a lot of Dustin and. You know, we're around to see Cody really coming through the ranks in WWE. And then when he ventured off and helped start AEW, you were one of the first people he called and what a big moment this was. And
yeah, he came out to my house in Oklahoma to do some vignettes, little videos and stuff. He took it seriously, hiring JR.
Yes.
And I really appreciated that. I love that kid, you know, God almighty. He's ornery little ass was always when he could out of school and so forth. Mama Rhodes would allow him to, he'd come with Dusty to TV and things of that nature. Good kid. Love the kid. He's got a heart of gold. And, he worked his ass off to get to that point on Sunday night to have the match. I thought the match was really good, solid, told a great story because I was expecting what the end was going to be, like many people. And if you thought that, then you're right, as was I on that one. They're booked into a corner. They had to switch the title, or it would have upset a lot of apple carts. So I'm happy for him. He's going to make a lot of money. I hope that he's getting good financial guidance and advice. No, if I were him, my suggestion would be to, if he hadn't already done it, he probably already done it, hire a certified financial planner, because that way he can help keep you up with your quarterly taxes. Can you imagine his tax rate, Conrad, at what he's going to be earning? And it's not taxable income. It's independent contractor money. You got to pay taxes on that every quarter. So you want to be prepared for that, because it's inevitable. It's going to come. So, and that's the only thing I'd say to any young athlete in Cody's position, where he's making more money than he ever dreamed he might. Are you prepared for your wealth? So, I'm sure he will be. He's a smart kid, smart kid. He's a great addition to the team there at WWE. I'm happy.
I'm happy for him too. Obviously it's a big moment for the Rhodes family, for Cody Rhodes personally, obviously the entire WWE and really all of wrestling. It's it was the news, man. And when it can drip over into the mainstream, that's good for everybody. And Speaking of the news, boy, there's been a bunch of news lately that I actually wanted to get your take on. I originally planned to talk about Dustin Rhodes today, but so much other stuff that's happened, it feels like maybe we could just call an audible. As we're recording, though, tonight is Dynamite. As folks are listening to this, it was last night, and we saw Dustin Rhodes challenge Samoa Joe for the world title. And I found the timing of that to be interesting, and I wanted to see what you made of it. I, for one, love the idea of Dustin challenging for the world title, but the timing of this match happening just a few days after his brother challenged another Samoan named Joe for the world title is interesting. What'd you make of that timing?
I never looked at it that way, Conrad. Your mind is funny. It's unique. Hey, I was going to tell you before we get off the Cody topic, I sent him a text on Monday morning. I let things settle down, and he got back to me on Tuesday. And I just said, you know, I'm proud of you. Be the leader that WWE needs. Love you. And his response to me was, I did it, cowboy. That's what he used to call me. Little insider stuff.
I love that.
Cody called me cowboy because of the fucking hat. Thanks, Vince. I can't leave the house now without my hat, seems like, but I do. Anyhow, my black hat ain't a big deal at Publix. So I'm so proud of the kids, but what were we talking about?
About his brother challenging for the AEW world title.
Well, it's good exposure for Dustin.
Yeah.
He's in a key spot where he can perform. There won't be any timing issues and things of that nature. But he deserves the opportunity. Dustin is still a really good worker.
Yeah.
And you know, we make too much of these 50 or whatever, how old he is. Hell, I don't know. I don't care. As long as he can still get his job done and feed a comeback and take bumps and lay his stuff, his offense in, I don't care what his birthday is. Buy him a cake. If you're so concerned about his age, next time he has his birthday, make him a cake. Cupcakes might even work. But he's done a great job for AEW. And we'll talk about that when we do this show. He's been very valuable there as an agent, producer, whatever you want to call it, coach. Then he's got his wrestling school. Which I hear is very well done. So, but there's a lot of things to talk about him. We're talking about that Goldust character, Conrad, and then the development of that packaged with Marlena was really an interesting journey. A lot of fun stories to talk about that. Some of you probably find it a little bit uneasy, but it'll be a fun show next week.
Well, I'm sure it was a fun show last night. As I understand it, it's the first time Dustin and Samoa Joe have wrestled each other. I know there was a gauntlet match once upon a time in TNA, but I don't think that really counts. So seeing these sort of first time ever dream matches is always fun. And that's what it feels like. It's going down at Dynasty Saturday, April 21st. That's where you're hoping to be back to call Brian Danielson and Will Ospreay. We all sort of assume that's going to be the main event. Whatever it's going to be, I'm going to be there. It feels like AEW always delivers on pay-per-view. So we've got Joe and Swerve Strickland. We've got Okada and Pac. We've got Tony Storm and Thunder Rosa. Looks like we've got Adam Copeland, Eddie Kingston, and Mark Briscoe taking on the House of Black. We've got Julia Hart versus Willow Nightingale. And it certainly looks like it's the Young Bucks versus FTR for the now vacant AEW World Tag Team titles. If you got those guys in a tag match and you got Ospreay and Danielson in singles action, I don't think anything else on the card matters all that much. You're going to have a good pay-per-view when it's all said and done.
I think we've probably just talked about the opening match and the closing match.
Yes, sir.
That might be a thought to look to forecast, look forward to. If I was making the lineup or helping with the booking or something, I probably would suggest that. And the suggestion would be start off with the Bucks and FTR, fresh audience. They're hot. They're energized. They'll be motivated and start out, because this tag match should be classic. Two of the best tag teams currently in the business. And I say that, but are not enough fanfare. They're both really good at what they do, and they're students of the game, and they know how to get a tag team match over. And then I don't know how you close anything but Danielson and Ospreay. I don't know how you, because if you're a wrestler, Conrad, seriously, would you want to follow that?
No,
I wouldn't. Close with the, because this is one of the most eagerly anticipated main events that I can remember AEW booking. You know, Tony Khan reached into his inner fandom to give us this match. I can't, it's the reason that I want to come to St. Louis, other than seeing the guys and fans and so forth. But I'd love to call that match because I can envision the story that those two dudes are going to tell.
I can't wait. It's going to be a hell of a match. AWTIX.com is where you can pick up tickets and go see JR in person. We're hoping, knock on wood, that JR is on that call. And what a match to come back to. That's AEWTIX.com. Hey, we should also remind everybody that when you join up over at adfreeshows.com, you get all of our shows early and ad-free, but you also get bonus content each and every month. And as I understand it, 1 week from today, JR is going to be sitting down with the members at adfreeshows.com for a live Q&A. It's happening Thursday, April 18th at 8 p.m. Eastern. That's Thursday, April 18th at 8 p.m. Eastern, just a few days ahead of AEW Dynasty. Jump on adfreeshows.com. This is going to be fun, man. It's going to be not just a chance to ask questions ahead of time, but actually be live and interact with you on camera.
Yeah.
At I like free shows.
These are fun to do. Fans seem to enjoy them, and you can participate. And Conrad, I think the cost is right down our alley.
Free. Yeah, you think? I mean, come on, yeah. Go check it out. Adfreeshows.com. And I think you'll be impressed.
Our house is a mess. Come on in. I'm Amber Wallen, internet comedian and host of your new favorite podcast, Fly on the Wallen.
Okay, that's pretty presumptuous to assume that this is going to be their favorite podcast, by the way.
Anyway, that wasp that you just heard interrupt me is my husband.
And co-host, Benjamin Wallen.
Listen in as we discuss relationships and keeping our sweet baby kid alive.
Fly on the Wallen, wherever you listen.
America starts the day with America in the Morning.
First of three pushes of storminess.
Hi, I'm John Trout, your host for the latest news, politics, entertainment, business, and weather.
A speech with political overtones.
Our staff of correspondents provide a fast-paced look at the world with specialized reports from where news happens.
Judge's decision was based on finding there is a likelihood.
So far, the central bank appears to be threading that.
Concise, accurate, and fresh each day.
America in the Morning, the podcast, available wherever you listen.
So listen, man, we got a big WrestleMania in the rear view right now. Yeah. And a lot of people are wondering, where do we go from here? And I wanted to get your take on a few different things in the wrestling space. Number one, right at the top, what did you think of Stephanie McMahon appearing on camera again? I mean, it felt like on some level, WWE was in her rear view mirror and she was back. What did you think?
I liked it. The crowd liked it. That's what you kind of judge it by. Did the live audience respond to it in a favorable way? And I thought that they did. It was a nice surprise to start out the second night of WrestleMania. You know, she played a big role in WWE, especially during my era, in the Attitude Era. She was, at times, she could easily be considered the second best heel in the company. Behind her dad.
Yeah, no doubt.
So she contributed immensely. So I'm glad that she was there and she looked great. You can tell she's been working out. God damn, she's got bigger biceps than me. That's embarrassing. But it was good. It was a welcome surprise without question.
What'd you think of night one? you know, there was a lot of great matches on there. I think the one that probably stole the show for me was Sami Zayn and Gunther. Gunther's Intercontinental title reign was the longest in history, lasted 666 days, and now it's over. We got a new Intercontinental champion, Sami Zayn. Is it time for Gunther to level up to the main event? Is he going to be a worthy challenger for Cody? What say you, Jim?
Oh, hell yeah. I would love to see Cody defend the title against Gunther. I'm a big Gunther fan. Very basic, very fundamentally sound. He's a machine. He's physical. What he does is realistic. Tells great stories. And it was a hell of a match. The best match. I can't tell you, Conrad, if I saw a match that I liked that much better than Gunther and Sami Zayn on both nights. They're just were tremendous. And I'm a big, like I said, big Gunther fan. I think he's a great find. He's got himself in magnificent shape. I love his physicality. And then at the same respect, Sami Zayn played his role perfectly. Perfectly. The fire when he needed it, the comeback was golden. That's what baby faces have got to understand how to do. You got to make a comeback. There's that brainbuster. That's a dangerous move right there.
Yeah, it is.
If you're watching on YouTube, which you should be, YouTube's free, folks. Join us and see some audio, some video. But that brainbuster was, I know it was safe because Sammy had done it before. Nobody had gotten hurt, but it just looks edgy. Maybe that's what it's supposed to do.
When you take a look at the WWE landscape, is there anybody that stands out besides Gunther as an opponent you'd go to quickly for Cody? Because it does feel like he needs a few dragons, right? Like maybe if there's a Brock who's going to be coming back, or Gunther or something like that.
Or Randy Orton.
There you go. That's a great one.
That's a match people would want to see. Randy versus Cody, two second generation guys, two guys that came into WWE at somewhat connected timeline.
Yeah.
I think that would probably be my off the top of my head. But they got that's the great thing about WWE for them right now is that they built some depth. So there's a lot of possibilities for Cody's first world title opponent. So we'll see how it goes. They got a lot of choices, and any choice they make is going to be second guessed. Just be patient. They'll get to your favorite. I promise you.
Let's talk about Randy Orton, because we did see him wrestle on night two. It was a three-way with Kevin Owens and Logan Paul. This was only Logan Paul's 12th match. Obviously, it got a lot of attention on social media when he had his other streaming buddy, and he was in the prime bottle. I mean, I think that segment alone got over 200 million views in 24 hours or something crazy.
Golly.
What'd you think of Logan Paul so far? I mean, for a guy who's only had 12 matches and they've all been at like SummerSlam and Crown Jewel and WrestleMania and Royal Rumble. I mean, it's only these major events, and it feels like he's holding up his end of the bargain. What do you think?
I think he's overachieved. I'm pleasantly surprised at how much Logan Paul has developed. I don't know who behind the scenes is coaching him, working with him. Don't know. But he's pretty extraordinary for somebody that's had 12 matches to perform at the level that he has. He's in great shape. Takes amazing bumps. He's easy to dislike, much like I told Paul Heyman one time. Congratulations to Paul for his Hall of Fame induction. Somebody said he mentioned me in that Hall of Fame speech.
Absolutely.
I didn't know where I was. I thought I was going to try to watch it. I did watch part of it. I mean, I just missed it. Anyway, I appreciated that. I'm a Logan Paul fan. I think they got a keeper right there. And the fact that he's not wrestling every week on Raw or SmackDown is probably very, very smart. Inadvertently, maybe. I don't know. But it's very smart that he's not being overexposed while he's getting his wrestling boots laced tight and getting used to the format, protocol, so forth. Hell of a performer. I'll tell you that. He's a hell of a performer. And that was a great idea, this Prime thing. Again, on YouTube.
Let me ask you, when you're thinking about, you know, how to position guys, I'm wondering, like in that scenario, when I was thinking about who would be a possible opponent for Cody, and I sort of freestyled Brock or Gunther, and then you said even Randy Orton. I'm wondering, in that scenario, do you think Randy Orton can still be a heel in WWE, or do the fans, are they just love that character and they're so familiar with it? I just wonder, are they ever going to boo Randy, or are we with Randy, whether he's a good guy or a bad guy now?
I think the latter. I think that Randy can be anything he wants to be. It's all a matter of presentation, Conrad.
Right.
All a matter of presentation. And Randy's, he's established. He's over. The motivator is the championship. If it's focused on the championship instead of a personal issue, are they booing him or are they not, et cetera, et cetera. So I'm a firm believer that under the right condition, the right storytelling, the right actions in the ring, this could be a moneymaker for him. Because the matches, you know, would be unbelievable. Unbelievable. They could close any show in a very star-studded way. So you got yourself a main event right there. Now just build to it. Add the layers of the storytelling comparably that they did for Cody and Roman.
It was quite a match, quite a story. I do want to talk about that main event, but before we do, I figured I should mention a few other big moments over the weekend, including Drew McIntyre beating Seth Rollins. And it looked like, hey, he's finally got his big moment. He's winning the World Heavyweight Championship in a crowd with people. There's his WrestleMania moment. He goes to taunt Punk. Punk's had enough. Out comes Damian Priest, who cashes in. And he is now your World Heavyweight Champion. This is a nice little way to reshuffle the deck right before the draft, which we all believe is right around the corner. What'd you think of Drew McIntyre and then immediately cashing in with Damian Priest?
Well, I'm a big Drew McIntyre fan. I think he's a prototypical pro wrestler. Big, athletic, convincing, got a great look. Presentation at WrestleMania was extraordinary, I thought.
Yes.
So I was completely shocked. I hadn't even been thinking about the money in the bank scenario. I hadn't thought about it one time. So then when our man right there came out, I said, oh shit, this could be something. And it was. I didn't know they'd go all the way through with it. Damian Priest is, he's worked his ass off to become a hell of a hand. And he's got the size that WWE covets as a rule. He's 6'2 or 3. I saw him on TV, on ESPN this week, a day or two ago, with the Yankees, Aaron Judge, and some more players. Find out everybody's a wrestling fan in some degree, especially if you get to let their guard down. And I watched Aaron Judge hold the title belt, the strap. He held the strap, and he held it in his hands like a little child, like he couldn't believe he was holding the WWE Heavyweight Championship. So I was surprised. I thought it was very good booking. Very good booking. It surprised me. I wasn't ready for it.
Let's talk a little bit about, you know, what you would do next with the world title. You know, it does feel like, you know, with the draft seemingly around the corner, we're going to get reset where one guy's on one show and one guy's on another in terms of Raw and SmackDown, Cody and Damian Priest. But I kind of feel like I'm not wishing this on Damian Priest, but if you were booking, would this be a time when you would seriously consider trying to make a guy like LA Knight?
Yeah,
I mean, it does feel like that LA Knight and Damian Priest could immediately be a thing.
I agree. And it's inevitable that LA Knight is one of the favorites.
Yes.
Of the office. I haven't totally bought into his persona. And not to say it in a bad way. Like I haven't seen him do anything that I didn't like. I just got to feel it more. They got to do a little bit more, character development, get me to buy in to who this dude is and why I should give a shit. So, but he's got a good future ahead of, no doubt about that. Like I said earlier, we were talking about Cody's next opponents. It's not beyond the realm of comprehension that it's a baby face.
Right.
Well, why couldn't it be? It can, and it might be. We don't know yet, but I'm sure we're going to find out imminently. But that would hurt my feelings. I probably would. It would be the ideal booking. There's no doubt about that. A heel's better, an established heel. But that you might have to go that route. My goal would be to get the best matches that you can in the ring.
Yes.
And LA Knight can talk, and he can take bumps. He can feed a comeback, same as a lot of guys. And that's what you look for. Can you mechanically execute what is needed to be done? And all the guys we've talked about here today, this is, you know, backyard booking, is they can all do that. They all got those things in common. They're athletic. They can talk, take bumps. And they've got enough TV exposure. They have some name identity established.
I wanted to ask you about Becky Lynch and Rhea Ripley. They really started the entire weekend. They were the first match on night one. Excellent way to start the show. Really enjoyed that match. But we found out after the fact that, boy, Becky was wrestling hurt. Like, this is her flu game. She literally had strep throat during this match. And Becky Lynch has admitted that, or Rhea Ripley rather, that she had a panic attack right before the matches.
Wow.
And that's not something that people talk about very often, but I thought it was very cool to hear her talk about, because I can only imagine when you're going out in front of 70, 80,000 people, whatever it is, and millions more at home, and every little thing about what you do is going to be picked apart and scrutinized and filmed from 100 angles. And you're the first person out there. That is a lot of stress and pressure for anybody, much less a young person. Right, Jim?
Yeah, but what you got to do, Conrad, you got to position it to your talent. If you're an administrator, you're lucky because you got a fresh audience.
Yeah.
They've been waiting. They've been sitting. They're on ready. They're at the starting gate, ready to explode. So look at it in a positive way, as opposed to, oh man, I'm stressed and all that. You know, I never heard of Moolah talking about being stressed. I don't think nothing bothered Moolah. Of course, she had her policeman with her at all times, Mae Young. So I thought that that was the ideal way to kick off the event. I'm a big Becky Lynch fan, and I growing to be a big Rhea Ripley fan. And, you know, I just think the business in general has done a great job in building the female side of the roster. You know, we talked about Dynasty coming up in St. Louis on pay-per-view. The women aren't omitted from that either. They're going to be playing too.
Yeah.
I love that. They get opportunity.
We've also got the opportunity to talk to you guys a little bit about The Rock. I mean, easily one of, if not the biggest star in the history of WWE, certainly with what he's done in his post WWE career. And a tag match on night one, he successfully pins the American Nightmare, Cody Rhodes. Night two, it's Bloodline Rules. See Jimmy interfere. Jay responds. We see Solo interfere. Cena responds. We see The Rock come down. Undertaker responds. And it was really through the generations, all these different eras of WWE represented right there. And Cody's the man. What'd you think of The Rock's performance, seeing Cena and The Undertaker one last time? That was all pretty cool.
Rock was marvelous. for two nights. Absolutely marvelous. I didn't notice any slips in his timing or any false steps. He just was amazing. For somebody that had been somewhat dormant as far as the in-ring wrestling stuff is concerned, he did phenomenally well. Punches are great. His kicks are great. Psychology was untouchable. No doubt about that. I thought the inclusion of Undertaker and Cena, so forth, was brilliant. Because it got more star power on the show on the back end of a long night. And it gave the fans a real significant reason to reinvest emotionally. And that was really a smart move.
There's been a lot of emotional investment in the Jimmy and Jay storyline too. And I saw a lot of criticism online with people saying that this was their least favorite match of the weekend. I saw some people even going so far as to say it's the worst WrestleMania match in history, which I think is a little over the top. Why do you think, for whatever reason, it seems like Jimmy and Jay didn't resonate with a lot of the audience?
Oh, it was just the story they were telling. All those kicks. I became numb to them.
Super kicks.
Yeah. And, you mentioned before we started recording that it seemed like maybe that match was copying from the super kick phenomenon created by the Young Bucks. I don't know that. I hadn't thought of it that way, but I could see somebody would or could. The story as it was laid out didn't work for me. The kids worked hard. And they're tough kids. I've known them since they were babies. And they've always been athletic and not afraid to take bumps. You know, when you see 6, 7, 8-year-old kids taking bumps at TV, it's pretty phenomenal. They're extraordinary in that regard. I just thought it was the wrong story to tell. I needed to see more wrestling and less kicking.
Well, we're hoping that the Bloodline story continues. The rumor and innuendo, something I wanted to ask you about, is that Jacob Fatu has been signed. Now, as you and I are recording this, we've not seen Mr. Fatu on camera for WWE, but we certainly saw his work in MLW and a handful of other independents. We had him at Ric Flair's last match. I've always been super impressed with Jacob Fatu, and I'm curious why it took so long for him to get contract with WWE or AEW. What did you think of Jacob Fatu and this news that he's apparently signed with WWE?
Good signing. Not surprising after WrestleMania. I'm sure they'll have more signings. You know, Tony Khan's doing a great job in signing new talent and quality new talent. It's just the time of the year. Rosters move, they change, they're amended, hence the draft, hence more signings, new marriages, so forth. That's not surprising to me. That's just kind of the tradition in the pro wrestling business. After WrestleMania, you adjust your roster. And I thought it was good that they booked some of those NXT kids. I just like all wrestling. We're talking about our, company that I don't work for anymore.
Right.
Because we're wrestling fans here. That's all.
Yeah.
And how do you ignore the biggest pro wrestling event in history? On this show, I don't think you can. But it reminded me a little bit of how I felt when we played Wembley. It was just a sight to behold.
Yes.
And we'll do that again in August. No doubt.
I can't wait. It's going to be awesome. Tickets on sale now, AEWTIX.com. If you haven't made plans to be there, you should. They're planning to go clean. I was told that on no uncertain terms last week that it's going to go clean. There you go.
That means it's sold out.
Yes, sir.
There's an ass every 18 inches.
And boy, there was plenty of asses in Philadelphia, night one and night two of WrestleMania. We saw the women's six-man tag, or six-woman tag, rather, on night one. It felt like a Marvel movie. It looked like a lineup of superheroes. Jade Cargill, Bianca Belair, and Naomi picked up a win over Damage Control. Obviously, Jade Cargill is the blue chipper fresh off the AEW run. But Bianca Belair and Naomi, they've both had their own WrestleMania moments. This was pretty awesome to see. And it's another reminder, Jim, of how far women's wrestling has come. A few years ago, we wouldn't have seen six women get 8 minutes like this and have a real wrestling match. It would have been bra and panties to this or that. And I'm glad we're moving in this way.
I am too. I am too, very much so. I've been a big proponent of women's wrestling since back in the Attitude Era. Back to that. I hired a lot of great stars at Hall of Fame level. Trish Stratus, Jackie Moore, and others. I'm happy for all those gals. They deserve an opportunity. They deserve an opportunity no different than the guys. None at all. I know that my old schoolness is maturing, because there's a time in my life where, you know, when McGurk or Watts would book the women, Watts did it less than McGurk did. McGurk just didn't want to say no to Moolah when she'd call, because I set in a lot of those calls and she'd sweet talk him and all that good stuff. She's got a new young girl. It's going to be big, blah, blah, blah. And so he'd bring Moolah and her girls in. But what it did was took four spots away from the guys, because no matter what, the card wasn't going to change much as far as the number of bodies booked. And so that was how that worked. It created an imposition because of facilities and so forth. That's why the women had to get dressed in closets at times, or down the hall out of sight. You know, God forbid they get the chance to take a shower. So at least the facilities have changed. The equal opportunities are there. But it sure wasn't that way when I was young and first got in the business. It was embarrassing.
Well, it wasn't embarrassing to see how far they've come, especially on night two when we saw Bayley get her big WrestleMania moment against Io Sky. I know that Bayley has won a four-way in 2017 at WrestleMania before, but this being her first singles match and her winning the women's title, this felt like Bayley's WrestleMania moment to me. What say you, Jim?
Oh, I agree. Yeah. She's a lovely person, and a hell of a worker. She reminds me of, when we brought in, Jackie, as I mentioned earlier, and Ivory and, Terry Pock. She knows how to work, and she can bring out the best in any opponent that she's booked with. And that's invaluable. That's totally invaluable. You can't replicate that. So, but I was happy for her. She's paid her dues for God knows. And sweetheart of a person. And that was a great moment for her. She'll never forget it, nor should she.
Well, something we hope you never forget is that today's episode is brought to you by The Perfect Jean. Man, I got to tell you, if you're tired of your classic rough and rigid jeans crushing your nuts,
whoa,
no further than The Perfect Jean. If you're tired of wearing those oversized jeans that make you the laughing stock at your office or bar, but the only way you don't smash your bag, or maybe your wife is tired of you wearing sweats or khakis, God forbid, because you just hate wearing jeans, today's sponsor can help with all that. The Perfect Jean has finally solved all of your denim difficulties. You see, they make great looking, perfect fitting jeans that are as comfortable as sweatpants. And here's the secret. It's a special denim fabric that's super soft and has the perfect amount of stretch so you can squat, do yoga, or just sit around all day, not ever wanting to take them off. They even make six fits from skinny to thick. They've got a waist that'll go from 26 to 50, and they've got links that go from 26 to 38 for big boys, for short kings, for tall dudes, and the rest. They got you at The Perfect Jean. Right now, for a limited time, our listeners can get 15% off when they use our special code. Check this out. It's 15% off your first order plus free shipping at theperfectgene.nyc or just Google The Perfect Gene. Use our code JR15 and you'll get 15% off. One more time, that's free shipping and 15% off your first order at theperfectgene.nyc or just Google The Perfect Gene. Use the code JR15 and you'll get 15% off. And I got to tell you, my wife opened the box that these came in and she was blown away. She assumed, based on the fabric, are these for me? And of course, no, they were in my size. She could never wear those. However, they were the most comfortable jeans she's ever held. You're going to be so glad you found these, especially if you struggle getting, well, let's just call it bunched up. If you're an athlete or you've got a larger body or maybe you've got a smaller body, I'm telling you, this material helps you down yonder. Roll Tide. Right now, it's finally time. Stop crushing those balls. Get yourself some uncomfortable jeans out of here and get the most comfortable jeans you've ever seen at theperfectgene.nyc. Our listeners get 15% off your first order, plus they get free shipping and they get free returns and free exchanges, all when you use our code JR15 at checkout. That's 15% off for new customers at theperfectgene.nyc when you use our promo code JR15. And after you purchase, they'll ask you where you heard about them. Please support our show and let them know we sent you. So fuck your khakis and get the perfect gene.
Khakis.
How about that?
Conrad, you got any khakis?
Yeah, of course. I think everybody's got to have khakis. Every dude's got to have khakis.
I know you have khaki shorts. I've seen you wear them.
I don't want to wear jeans. I mean, khakis at all. I want to wear perfect jeans. Theperfectgene.nyc. Use our promo code JR15.
Yeah.
Seriously, these are the most comfortable pants. Like Orange Cassidy is going to be jealous of your overwhelming comfort.
Yeah, and look, I tried those jeans. They work.
Hell yeah.
They're comfortable as hell. And you're not stifled. Don't be stifled. Let your balls roam.
Yeah, let them hang. All JR said, let them hang. Hey, we should also mention that, you know, in the middle of all this, we're talking about what's going on with wrestling. You're right around the corner from having your new book released. You can actually pre-order it right now at jrbook50.com. That's jrbook50.com. How about this quote from John Cena? Through the years, Jim Ross has been not only the voice of some of the greatest stories ever told in sports entertainment, he has identified and helped a great number of successful professionals. I'm extremely grateful for all of his guidance. How about that? Nice little
words from John Cena. Yeah. That's nice. A lot of those guys were cool about writing forwards and submitting some context. Rock and, you know, Bret Hart, Mick Foley, no Hammond Eggers in that roster.
No.
And, the book's going to be on sale everywhere in May, which is not, it's around the corner. And the other thing, Conrad, is that, I'm still working on a process to sign them. And that'll probably be at my website, jrsbbq.com. But I'm excited about it. As a matter of fact, we're going to start recording the audio version of Business is About to Pick Up any day now, like in the next few days. We're waiting on studio time. So I'm excited about beginning that process because when I do the audio book, my philosophy is just to entertain people. Sometimes I'll throw things in on an audio read that it's not even written. Just felt right. And because I'm the author along with Paul O'Brien, I have that leeway, which I'm lucky to have. So, jrbook50.com. Hope you'll get your copy. I got some appearances coming up that I plan on having the book at all those appearances. I can certainly sign them there, as well. So think about it. It's a good read. It's 50 stories, 50 chapters. They're all short.
Well, they're all short when you're running around with Dave Silva too. Everything with Dave Silva short, not really, of course. His patience for us is long, and JR is going to be making appearances in your area, and we're going to be tweeting those out. And of course, you can see those on our YouTube right now as well at grillingjr.com. June 8th, he'll be at River City Wrestling. That's going to be a convention there in Jacksonville, Florida. June 8th, River City Wrestling. So a little local shot for Jim in Jacksonville. July 6th, he'll be in Philadelphia for Battleground Championship Wrestling. That's July 6th. Battleground Championship Wrestling in Philadelphia.
I'm defending my title there, Conrad. So,
now which title is this? The 24/7 title, or
it's a never happening title.
Well, what is happening? You're back at WrestleCade. It's going down in Winston-Salem, November 30th. It has become a staple every Thanksgiving weekend. Wrestling fans from around the world show up in Winston-Salem. If you've never been to a WrestleCade, you're missing out. Go check out JR November 30th in Winston-Salem.
Yeah, those guys do a great job. All these places, I appreciate their confidence in me to help draw some folks, and looking forward to seeing everybody. It's nothing like seeing the fans one-on-one, or you're not rushed and cattle called. You know, you're not animals. And like Bret Hart said one time, I'm not a circus animal. And that's how I look at have the fans coming. You're not going to be rushed or treated rudely or anything like that. Just enjoy our opportunity to communicate together. And that's what we'll do. We'll have fun too.
Let's talk a little bit about some news notes in the wrestling world. There's a report out that says that WWE is moving away from the term sports entertainment. They're going to be embracing the term pro wrestling. What do you make of that?
Logical as hell.
Yeah.
Logical as hell. And I've never looked at pro wrestling as a negative term. You know, I've always been a proponent of pro wrestling. That's what we do. That's what it is. So roll with it. Why not? You know, that's another, I think, one of the ways goodbye to Vince. We're not doing this thing anymore. We're going to do pro wrestling. That's what the business was predicated on. And any generation you look at, any territory you want to look at, it was all predicated on the success of the live events in these territories. And I'm just a big believer that pro wrestling is the way to go. We do it in AEW since day one. Tony Khan is unabashed. He's a pro wrestling fan and a pro wrestling historian to some degree. So that's what makes it so much fun to work for Tony. He's just a fan. He gets the big, he's excited. He gets the adrenaline rush, and that's infectious. That's good for all of us. How can I be half-assed when my boss is gung-ho as hell and ready to rock and roll? You want that. You need that. And it's a positive environment. That's one of the great things I like about, and Tony's got me doing pay-per-views. At least that's the plan today. And I hope it stays that way, because I have something to look forward to. They're big events. And that card, like you mentioned, the card for St. Louis, my God, that son of a bitch is star-studded, man. It's like a major, major pay-per-view, which is what it is. So, anyway, I'm a big believer that pro wrestling is the way to go. It's the right moniker. Well,
it was the right way to go for Dwayne Johnson. It was disclosed yesterday. Brandon Thurston posted over on Twitter that as of Sunday, Dwayne Johnson received 96,558 TKO shares, which meant as of Tuesday, it was worth $9.41 million. Nice little payday for this run and part of that agreement that he struck with WWE. So kudos for him.
He's a smart businessman, isn't he? Smart. He gets it, man. When we talked about him before, one of the things that I remember mentioning was that he was the first guy that wanted to talk about payoffs. And seriously, kept track. He knew what the houses were, and he got that from Austin. Both those guys are very educated. And anytime you have a a pay system that is, what's the word I'm looking for? It's not indiscriminate, but it's paid on productivity, discretionary money. All pay-per-views are discretionary monies. Unless you got something in your contract that says you're guaranteed no less than, which was very, very, very seldom. I can't even think of somebody off the top of my head that's guaranteed X dollars for showing up. And I think that's what kept our locker room sharp, competition. I know it's funny. I read today, this morning, before we started recording, Conrad, that somebody said, I can't wait for the St. Louis pay-per-view because AEW guys seem to always rise to the occasion on a pay-per-view. And I started thinking about that. It sounds good coming out of the AEW PR department, but it's factual. This group of guys enjoy topping the other, and they enjoy stealing the show if possible. So I'm looking forward to this whole thing. Wrestlers can get up just like a football player can, or a basketball player, or whatever. They can get themselves up and have more effort and tell a better story, be more focused, work harder, work smarter. And I think that's what you get from an AEW show without question.
Well, I for one am pumped to think about the future of wrestling, but I know that part of that means there's going to be some pieces on the board moving around. There's lots of rumor and innuendo that Drew McIntyre and Becky Lynch both have contracts that are coming due relatively soon. And there's lots of people wondering, hey, did finishes we saw at WrestleMania, is that reflective of where they are in their contractual status? Or is there a chance those talents could retire or leave WWE or take a break? Or there's a lot of moving parts right now in professional wrestling. And we just saw three big, you know, free agents land in AEW with Will Ospreay, with Okada, and with Mercedes Moné. And for the first time, maybe, we saw multiple releases from AEW. And that is an unfortunate reality of growing a business. I've had to be the guy to make that call before. And as bad as it sucked to get that call, I'm sure there was somebody on the other end who was really dreading having to make that call. And,
I made a few of those, Conrad.
Yeah. I wanted your take. Like, you've been the guy who's had to hire a lot of people and unfortunately had to fire a lot of people and let a lot of folks go. But I'm sure you had some words of encouragement along the way about how to get back there. What would your words of advice be to those folks who are finding themselves in a transition right now?
Don't bury yourself in your own misery. Get over it. Move on. Reestablish yourself. Hit the reset button. The end is not permanent. Just now, your skills are not needed. And you may not agree. You probably don't agree. I wouldn't agree if I were you, but that's how it is. That's the hand that we've all been dealt. And, you know, I unfortunately have the distinction of making this phone call. But the key thing is just don't self-destruct. Don't go off the handle. Don't fall off the wagon. Don't stop training. Don't create a, have no, nothing but positive vibes coming from you, in your afterlife. Because that goes a long way. So I'm just attitudinal. Just, you know, if you obviously you had athletic skills or we wouldn't hire you.
That's right.
So you check that box. Now make it good for the company, any company, to want to work with you. It's a lot more important to have a company want to work with you than not. I mean, golly, it's just common sense, right? So anyhow, that's attitude. Don't let this bad news and this bump in the road stop your journey. Don't do that.
Well, and whatever you do, don't forget JRsBBQ.com. It's good for what ails you. They got something for everybody. You got multiple types of hot sauce. You got Main Event mustard. You got Chipotle ketchup. You got JR's red ass hot sauce. And my favorite, the all purpose seasoning. They've also got collectibles, signed books and trading cards and action figures and There's always a fun collectible or two at jrsbbq.com.
Absolutely. And business has been good. You know, it's grilling season. Whether it's getting warmer, people are going outside, they're grilling and so forth. So we appreciate the business very much. Again, you know, it's a homage to my wife, late wife, Jan, and my mother, because mother's recipe was one of the, was the genesis of the original barbecue sauce. And then Jan, you know, affected everything. She was a great taster. And, you know, that's where we came up with the idea for the jalapeno honey mustard. I stumbled upon the award-winning, nationally award-winning seasoning when it was just known as a rub. I warmed something up last night. My lovely housekeeper brought me a roast, and I warmed it up. Instead of microwaving it, I warmed it up in a skillet because I thought it get warmer and throughout, more thorough. And then I seasoned it with JR's all-purpose seasoning. All the difference in the world. Something that simple. You don't have to coat it. You don't have to cover it and make it invisible. But that seasoning just did the trick. Brought out the flavor, and it's really good stuff. So, and again, our website will probably be with the one that will have your signed books when we're books are made available to me. But we, our business has been good. We're starting to establish a lot of good repeat business, and that means that we're doing something right. And we appreciate everybody's support. Good gift ideas. Father's Day's coming up. You got a wrestling fan in your family, your buddy, your cousin, your brother, whatever. Take care of them and give them some barbecue sauce. People love food for a gift. Conrad, don't you think that's a great gift, food?
It's a great gift. It's great for graduation, Mother's Day, yeah. Father's Day, just Saturday. Any reason. JRsBBQ.com. You're going to love it. And you're going to love next week's episode. We're going to be talking about Dustin Rhodes. I wanted to do it today, but I also knew that, man, we had a lot of moving parts. We need to discuss all this. So we did our best. I know that as you're listening to this, you got to see what they did last night on Dynamite with the All In footage. JR and I have not seen that. JR, I have no inside information.
And I was there. I didn't see it.
So we'll talk about it next week right here on Grilling JR. We'll also be talking about Dustin Rhodes. We want to hear from you. The best place to ask questions about what you saw on Dynamite last night, and of course about Dustin Rhodes, is on our YouTube. That's grillingjr.com. Cruise over right there. We'll have polls on future topics. We'll be asking you for questions here on the show, and it's absolutely free. Costs nothing. Go hit the subscribe button for free. Turn on the notifications bell. We'll be going live in the new year, and we don't want you to miss us. So check it out. Grillingjr.com.
Sorry, Conrad. We got a notification. I got a nice plaque this week memorializing our 100th subscriber.
Yeah, 100,000 subscribers. You passed it over at our YouTube at grillingjr.com, and onward and upward, man. Yeah, here we go.
Yeah. So let's get some more, because look, it's got great content. It costs you not a damn thing.
That's right.
It's just you're supporting our cause, and that we need that, and we appreciate that. So a lot of good shit going on, man. A lot of good stuff.
Check it out if you haven't already, grillingjr.com, and tune in next week where we'll be talking about the good, the bad, and the ugly of professional wrestling, and more importantly, our pal Dustin Rhodes, right here on Grilling JR with the voice of professional wrestling, Mr. Jim Ross.
We appreciate you guys joining us here today. It's been we kind of caught up a little bit, a little housekeeping today. And I encourage you to watch all the AEW product that you can. We're coming on the home stretch. The next pay-per-view always means exciting television. And the quality of talents that Tony Khan has signed, it's inevitable that they're not going to be great. They're already great. So it's just now a matter of getting them the right dancing partners and all those things. let the chemistry develop and evolve. So good time to be an AEW fan for sure. Congratulations to WWE for their success at WrestleMania weekend. Again, I and Conrad are wrestling fans. So it doesn't feel weird to support pro wrestling. Well, that's what it's all about, pro wrestling. So Conrad, you're the best. I appreciate you. And we'll talk to Dustin Rhodes here next week.
Looking forward to it right here on Grilling JR. Tax season is here, which means you've received or are expecting that tax refund any day now, and you're thinking about what to spend it on. How about a new home? With SaveWithConrad.com, we're helping renters become homeowners every single day, and it's more affordable than you think. You don't need perfect credit. You don't need a huge down payment. In fact, you may not need a down payment at all. At SaveWithConrad.com, we take the stress out of the home buying process. We'll determine your buying power. We'll even help you find a realtor. And unlike the banks, we don't say no. We say not yet, but here's how. So if you're not ready right now, we'll get you on a plan to be ready. Stop throwing your money away, paying someone else's mortgage with your rent, and start the path towards owning your own home today at SaveWithConrad.com. NMLS number 32416, Equal Housing Lender. SaveWithConrad.com.
When you have sports mixed with your pop culture, along with humor and celebrity interviews, your earbuds are enjoying the Rich Eisen Show.
Kevin Millar, we're all paying rent in Ohtani's world, right?
And the Dodgers world. Game is healthy. Game is good. And, you know, I get asked a lot, is that good for baseball? Yeah, it's good for baseball. This is definitely the team to beat, because that should be your next correction, Richie, is this World Series a bust for the Dodgers and Dave Roberts?
Hell yeah. Search for the Rich Eisen Show on YouTube or wherever you listen.